All right, y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? We are in the book of Isaiah, and if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 6, and if you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word, Isaiah chapter 6. So I want to read the first few verses of the chapter, and then we'll examine the whole chapter for the message. Isaiah writes, and he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. And with two he flew, and one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." Let's pray. Lord, this morning I pray that we would see you high and lifted up. God, may we recognize your holiness, your sovereignty, your power, your authority, your kingship. And Lord, may we be able to see ourselves for who we are, and then look out and see the city for what we are called to do. So Lord, help us to be your people. Lord, this morning, if there's someone that's never placed their faith and trust in you, I pray that you would speak to their heart, God, and may today be a day that changes them forever. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. Of course, in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah is writing at the same time as Hosea and Micah. We've been looking at those prophets, and he is speaking to Israel and Judah. So he's speaking to both kingdoms, mainly to Judah, but also to the northern tribe of Israel. And we read in the first five chapters that we see that the people of God are still abandoning the ways of God. And the reason for this is throughout Israel's kingship, most of the kings were evil and wicked. And they did what was evil in the sight of God, and they led the people into apostasy, into abandoning the worship of God and worshiping false idols. King Uzziah was a different type of king. He was one of the rare exceptions to the rule where he was a righteous king. And early on in his kingship, he desired to pursue God and try to seek his ways. And he began to lead, and the hand of God was upon him. And because of that, he began conquering and reclaiming lost territory that they had lost, regaining much of the land that David had conquered and set for the boundaries of Israel. And so King Uzziah was a righteous king. He was a good king. And as Isaiah's living in that time, you know, he's a breath of fresh air, you know, to having wicked kings and wicked kings and wicked kings and finally having a righteous king. It's kind of like, whew, finally, someone who gets it, who's putting us back on track. Well, he dies. And the nation can weep, because they were prospering. Materially, they were doing well. Financially, they were doing well. Politically, they were doing well. They were increasing their borders, but morally, they were still poor. And so in Isaiah's eyes, as if King Uzziah, after he dies, who's going to be the next? What's going to be the next king? Is he going to follow the path of the Lord and try to get us on track, or is he going to lead us to abandon the worship of God? Now, there's times in life when things don't look so good, right? I mean, Isaiah, the king that is a righteous king, dies. What's next? Sometimes in life, you look at your life and you look at the forecast. Have y'all ever forecast the week? And it's like, if it's sunny and bright, you think what? It's going to rain, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. But when you see that sunshine, you're like, oh, it just kind of makes you feel a little better, you know? And if you see cloudy and rain, you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those things. And then sometimes in life, the outlook, just the forecast, just doesn't look good, does it? It looks like things are bleak. You know, Isaiah had one of those moments. What's going to happen to the nation? Where are we going to go? What's the next turn? But you know what you do when your outlook on life seems bleak? You do an uplook. You do an uplook. And Isaiah, instead of looking out to the situation of what was going on at that time, he looked up and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and sitting on a throne. The king of Israel may have died, but the king of all kings was still alive. Amen? And that makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on in your situation because Jesus is still king. He's still sitting on the throne and he is Lord over all, and we look to him for our strength and our help, and he grants us his grace and mercy, and we are to worship and fall at his feet. Amen? And so Isaiah, he looks up and he sees the Savior. Now, in John's gospel, in John chapter 12, he interprets for us passages here in Isaiah chapter 6 saying that who Isaiah saw was he saw the Lord Jesus. He saw Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords sitting on the throne that he had before he humbled himself and took upon flesh. Remember, he went back and sat down at the seat he already had. And he sees the Lord. And when he sees the Lord, he's in the temple and he's experiencing a God moment. A moment that will forever change his life. He sees the Lord sitting up on a throne. Why is he on a throne? Because he is a king. What's his throne look like? It's high and lifted up. What's that let us know? Is that he's king above all kings. There's kings in this world. There's presidents in this world. There's powerful people in this world. And they have their chair of authority. But his seat is high above any man's seat. His is high and lifted up. He rules over all. He is in control. The Lord is not worried about the future. He's not up all night wringing his hand wondering what's going to happen next. He has complete sovereignty and control over all things. He rules the nations. He is king over all. And his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Seraphim, it means burning ones. These are angels of God that are covering their eyes because God is so holy, he cannot be looked upon. And he's covering their feet as in humility and humbling themselves before God. And they're forever flying around the throne of God. And they say in the superlative, holy, holy, holy. He is holy. In Hebrew, to stress the greatness, oftentimes you would have a double. So like in the Bible, when the Lord calls out Saul, when he's on the road to Damascus, remember that? He says, Saul, Saul. That's an emphasis. Something special. Pay attention to this. Isaiah says the seraphim, they're singing and they're echoing to one another all before the throne. One of them saying, holy. And the other one says, holy. And the other one says, holy is the Lord. Holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. Holy is God the Spirit. Three in one, the Blessed Trinity, our God. He's holy. He is separate. There is none like him. There is no God but the Lord. And he rules and he reigns and he is forever praised by the angels. And when he spoke, the foundations of the earth shook at the voice of him who called. And the whole room was filled with smoke. We've seen that as we've been reading through the Old Testament. When God showed up and his Shekinah glory entered into the temple and the whole place was filled with smoke. That is saying his presence was so full. When he spoke, it shook the floors. Imagine being in the presence of God. We would all think we'd like to experience that, wouldn't we? I remember as a teenager, I was praying. You know, God, as I was wrestling with the call to ministry and what God was doing in my life, and I was sitting there before I went to bed, and I was doing my Bible study, and I knelt down by the bed, and I started to pray, and I was like, Lord, just would you speak, you know, just speak to me. Just reveal yourself to me, you know. And I'm praying, I'm intense, you know, I'm praying. And all of a sudden, I hear this, the sound just like, I'm like, like almost, I have a heart attack. I had some Mountain Dew by my bed and the ice had kind of settled and it fell. And I said, oh Lord. I said, if that ice falling did that to me, I couldn't dare stand to actually be in your presence. Because you know what happened? When Isaiah looked up and saw the Savior, he looked in and saw his sin. And he says, woe is me, for I am lost. Some of your translations say, I am undone. Some of your translations say, I am ruined. I like the ruined translation the best. And the reason I like that is because I wonder if there's not something going on in Isaiah's mind that happened in the life of King Uzziah. You see, King Uzziah, he was a great king. He did a lot of great things for the people of God. But as he got older, he had a grave mistake. As he got older, he got a little prideful. And so he goes into the temple one day, and he's going to offer incense on the altar. And so he grabs the censer, and he's walking to offer incense on the altar, and the priest stops him and says, Uzziah, you can't do that. That's not for you to do. And 80 other priests are there holding him back saying, you don't need to do this. This is not what you're not a Levite. It is the priest and the Levites who are to offer this incense, not you as a king. This is not your role. This is not what you do. And the Bible lets us know that as he was holding the censer in his hand, he became angry because of that. And then the Lord touched him on the forehead and caused leprosy to break out. And he spent the rest of his kingship separated as a leper. I wonder if Isaiah, if when he's caught up and he's seeing this vision of being in the temple and seeing the angels flying, it kind of pictures the Holy of Holies, does it not? I mean, there is the Lord, the presence of God. The Holy of Holies is where the glory of God rests. It's where the Ark of the Covenant was there and the cherubim was overshadowing the Ark. But here we see the angels flying around the throne of God. And maybe Isaiah's thinking, I know what happened to King Uzziah when he approached and went into the, and it was trying to go into the Holy of Holies. He was undone. And he says, woe is me. I'm in dangerous ground because I'm before a holy God. And I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. I think we do not understand the holiness of God in America. When you go to pray, you're praying to a sovereign king. You're praying to the Lord of hosts. That word host, it means the Lord of armies. He has a host of angels at his command. In order to be able to go to heaven on our own, we would have to be perfect. You would have to have never thought a bad thought, never said a bad word, or never did a bad deed. Now, is there anyone here who would like to stand up and say, yeah, that I fit that description? Okay. I've got to sit down on that one. We all have to sit down on that one. When you see God for who he is, and you see his holiness and his righteousness and his power, it helps you see you for who you are, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Amen? I'm undone. I can't stand before a holy God. At that moment, he wasn't looking at his humanity. Isaiah wasn't. He wasn't looking at his own dignity. No, he was looking at his own impurity. He said, I'm ruined. I'm lost. In recovery, there's a first step they teach. And they tell you that the first step to recovery is to what? Admit you have a problem. And the first step to salvation, you know what it is? Admit you've got a problem. Hello, my name is Grant, and I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. This morning, I don't know your situation. I don't know how many of you all have made a profession of faith. I don't know how many of you all are trusting in what Jesus has done for your salvation. But this morning, if you have never realized that you are a lost, hopeless sinner who needs a Savior, this morning I'm going to ask that you would call upon the King of Kings. You can't save yourself. And so Isaiah is in this situation. He looks up and he sees the Savior. He looks in and he sees himself. And so he's humbled, as all of God's men have done in Scripture when they encountered God. Abraham, when he had an encounter with God, he said, I am but dust. Jacob said, I am not worthy. Job said, I am of small account. David said, who am I that you would consider me? Peter said, get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And Paul, when he had a counter, he said, I am the chief of all sinners. So what do we do? What do we do when we realize that we are unworthy to stand before a holy God? Well, there's nothing that we can do. It's what God has done. We must receive something, right? Look at verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin, what? Atoned for or is forgiven. Uses the word atone, atonement. He needed his sins to be forgiven. How was that going to happen? Could Isaiah do anything for his sins to be forgiven? Was Isaiah called to go and do certain acts before he could be forgiven? Who was the one responsible for atoning the sins of Isaiah? Was it Isaiah or was it God? God. And he took the stone and the coal and he touched his mouth. Jesus, the King of all kings, humbled himself, the Bible says, put on flesh, lived a sinless life, fulfilled the law perfectly, was crucified on a Roman cross for our penalty. He died the death that we deserved. The wrath of God, the Bible says, was poured out upon him. He became sin who knew no sin, so that we believers, those who trust in him, might become the righteousness of God. He was placed in a tomb and he rose again. Why? So that our sins could be atoned for, covered over, forgiven. Isn't that good news? You see, some kings order others to do it, but this king came down and did it himself. He died, he rose again. He touches the sinner today, and he sets free and delivers. And what does he do with us? He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he makes us his own. So Isaiah is saved. He is transformed. He is made new. By the power of God, this morning, you can be transformed. You can be made new by the power of God, by the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus. Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And so he's hearing the Lord, the sovereign king. Is this the Godhead speaking to one another, or is this the Godhead speaking to the council there in heaven? It's God speaking regardless and speaking, saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And then Isaiah, he's had this life-changing encounter with God. It moved from a knowing to a knowing. You know the difference, right? To know about and to know, there's a difference. Some of our youth have experienced that. My daughter experienced that. I think even Mia, you experienced that. I experienced that. Pastor John has experienced that. Some of you have experienced that, where you knew the right answer and you may have said a prayer and you may have been baptized, but there was not a knowing, a real knowing that Jesus, that you are a true sinner and that you need to call upon the name of the Lord and trust him for salvation, where you encounter the Lord. There's a difference of knowing about and knowing. You know, some of you got Instagram, TikTok, you got all these followers, all these people that you don't really know. You know about somebody, but you don't really know them, right? I can follow people. Anybody, you follow famous people? Y'all follow famous people, don't you, right? You know. I follow famous people like on Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, like William Shatner. He's real famous, right? Y'all know who that is. You know, I can know stuff about him. I can know what TV shows he's played in, what movies he's made. You know, I can know about him, but I don't know him, right? You can know about and I know. Here's what James says. You believe there's one God? Good. The devils believe and tremble. The demons can say that there is a God, but they're not saved. So you can have head knowledge about who Jesus is with no heart knowledge about who Jesus is. Isaiah, he knew the holiness of God. He probably even talked about the holiness of God. But then he encountered the holiness of God, and it changed everything about him. And when he was among the presence of God, he moved and he was just floored. I think from what I've heard from Pastor John and from some of you all youth, when you all were in the room of crossings, you were undone. Some of you recognized you were undone, you were lost, you were hopeless, and you needed the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit moving. And knowing about and really truly knowing, it became reality. And when it became reality, Isaiah had a real moment, real encounter with the Lord, and he hears the voice of God saying, who's going to go? I've got a task for somebody to go. Who shall we send, and who's going to go? Isaiah's over there going, me. I will. Here am I. Send me. That's what we need. We need people who are willing to say, here am I, send me. You know, and what we were saying is true. Like, you know, when you first get saved, man, you get this, you're fired up, you're ready to go. I mean, you're so excited to tell people about Jesus when you first become a believer. You believe that you could battle the gates of hell with a water gun. You're like, come on, devil, bring it on. And you're bold, and then what happens? You get around a bunch of backslidden believers. That's why we're saying, parents, don't stop this. Church, don't stop this. We don't want that fire to burn out. You keep it going, because it's flaming hot right now. The Spirit's moving. We're gonna keep following the Lord. Amen. And what does He need? He needs people who are just willing. Just be available. Here am I. Send me. A saint of God in our community passed away this past week. We'll be doing his funeral on Monday, Bob Butler. I know he's touched many people's lives in this community, and he had a Bible. And one of the things that he would like to say is this. One of his sayings was, may all who come behind me just find me faithful, right? And in that study Bible, it's J. Vernon McGee's Bible. He says, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it writes, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And his commentary says this, notice that it's not required of a steward to be eloquent or to have many gifts, only that he be found faithful. Some of you think, God can't use me. Well, I can't do this, I can't do that. Be faithful. Be willing. Be available. God every day gives us opportunities to go forth with Him and His power and to share His good news and share His good name. All we got to do is be willing. He says, who shall I send in the school hallways and who will go before me? He just needs somebody to say, here am I, send me. Who will be a witness in the locker room? Who will be a witness on the field, on the sports teams? He just needs somebody to say, here am I, send me. Who will be the coach that will lead these young men and young women to have dignity and character and nobility and raise them up to be the men and the women that God's called them to be? He just needs some coaches to say, here am I, send me. He says, who will go for me in the workplace, in the lunchrooms, in the office space to declare my good name? He just needs some people to be willing and available to say what? Here am I. Send me. Who will lead their families to honor me? He just needs some men to say, here am I, send me. Some wives to say, here am I, send me. He needs people who are just willing to say, here am I, Lord. Whatever you need from me. It doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be something that you spectacular. It's just everyday faithfulness. Everyday obedience. Being the witness that God's called us to be. And He calls Isaiah, and Isaiah looks out, and he sees the city. And the people are hopeless. They are living in ways contrary to the things of God. They need the good news. When I look out, and I see our culture, I see brokenness all around. Every time I'm on social media, stories of brokenness. Anytime you read a news article, story of brokenness. Brokenness, rebellion. People need hope. They need an answer. They need a Savior. Now, Isaiah's task wasn't too promising. In verse 9, the Lord says to Isaiah, and he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitants, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Boy, that's not a very exciting task. He's like, who's going to go for us? Here I am, send me. And what's the task? You're going to preach to a bunch of people that aren't going to listen to a word you say. Okay, woohoo. But was Isaiah's job, what was his job? Was his job to change the hearts of people? His job was just to be faithful and preach the message. A lot of people get disappointed. Well, I don't know how to share my faith, or I don't. What if I invite somebody to church and they don't come? Well, if you invite somebody in church and they don't come, you know what happens? They don't come. Is that your fault? No. You ask, what's your job? Just invite, to be faithful. Michelle, when she worked here in Montgomery County, she had the one service challenge. She got a lot more people coming to church than I did. She was better at this than me. But I was like, hey, it's not mine. If they don't come when I ask them, I'll send Michelle to ask them. And Michelle would often say, would you just come to our church just one time? Just one time. And if you don't like it, it's not going to hurt my feelings. And I'm not gonna be upset or disappointed. And I'll never ask you to come again. But if you just give it one shot. One time. And you know, several ladies took her up on that. A few of them ended up coming to know the Lord. And some are even still worshiping with us today. Just be faithful. You're not responsible for the response. Just be faithful. Amen? Just be available. You know, this passage is quoted in the New Testament when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And in John chapter 12 and verse 36, it says, when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And this is the commentary about the people in Jesus' day. It says, though he had done so many signs before them, they still what? They still did not believe. Even when Jesus was performing signs among them, there were people who still did not believe. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, Lord, who has believed what we have heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, it says, they could not believe. They would not believe, or they did not believe. So they could not believe. If a person will not believe, they can't believe. The author of Hebrews says, anyone who really is wanting to seek and know that if there's a God must first believe that he is. Verse 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. So they should not believe. That's why it's so important this morning. If you have never professed faith in Jesus, if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and say, hey, you better listen to him. You better be saved today. I'm the Lord. If you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's why the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. You might not get another day. You might not get another opportunity. And the more you say no, and the more you resist the Holy Spirit, the harder your heart gets. And the easier it is to say no. Because if you were to take a ball of snow, make a snowball, and then lump a ball of clay and set it out in the same sun, what's it going to do? It's going to melt the snow, but harden the clay. Don't let your heart get hardened from the things of God. Because your will not will turn into a cannot, which will turn into a shall not. So today, if you hear his voice, respond to the gospel. He gave a little bit of hope. Did you see it? Did you see the hope in this passage? It's found in the last part of verse 13. The holy seed is its stump. The holy seed is its stump. You're like, well, how's that hope? I'm glad you asked. What God is saying is, I'm going to cut down the nation like a tree. My judgment is coming. I'm going to cut the nation down like a tree, but I'm going to leave a stump. That's going to be the holy seed. I got a text this week. Randy Taylor sent me a picture. His son took a picture at the gorge as he was hiking through the gorge, and it's a picture of a stump. He's reading through Isaiah with us, and so it's a stump. And do you see the tree that's coming from the stump? Y'all see that? You see that tree coming from the stump? If we go wider there, can I see it? You see that? See how there's a tree growing from the stump that looks like it's dead. There's new life that's coming from that. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." You know who Isaiah is talking about? That's Jesus. That's the prophecy of the coming Messiah. The stump is the holy seed, the remnant. All through the Old Testament, God's always had a remnant. He's always had a people. And this stump is the holy seed of Jesse. Well, who's Jesse? Jesse is the father of David. King David, who was promised that he would have a throne that would never end. Who's he talking about? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one that Isaiah saw high and lifted up, sitting on a throne above all thrones. Where the angels sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And this king, he came down and he took on flesh and he died for our sins so that we might have life. And he gathered his disciples together and he gave us a commission. He said, "Go ye therefore, make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things." He says, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." The Spirit of God says, "Who will go for us?" He just needs somebody to say, "Man, If no one else will do it in the school, if no one else will do it as a coach, if no one else will do it in the office, if no one else will do it on the school bus, I will. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Who will go? I will. This morning, would you look up and see the Savior? Would you look in and see your sin and say, I need a Savior? And then would you receive salvation as a gift of God? And then would you look out and see the culture and the people and the brokenness and go declare His good news? Just be available. Let Him use you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise You today. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our life. You are worthy of our obedience, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord, to see You. To see You high and lifted up, sovereign over all things. King, Lord. May we keep our eyes focused on You. May we realize our need for You and our dependency upon You each and every day. So, Father, if there's someone here that does not know You as Lord, would You speak, would You save, would You set free this morning? And for those of us who know You, for those of us who've trusted in You, Lord, would we be the willing, available vessel to say, here am I, send me. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.